My name is Mongezi Mthathi, the host of the Lead Creative Podcast, a member of the South African Podcasters Guild, and a huge follower of the PVA. I'm joined by Diego Domingo to explore the landscape of podcast regulation across Africa, highlighting lessons from South Africa, Nigeria, Kenya, and other regions. Diego, I look forward to firstly getting a sense of what has been happening with the podcast regulation, because I know you've been doing a lot of that in South Africa, where we're both based. And also, this is obviously at the back of what's been happening in recent times, which has increased the calls for regulation. So, I suppose to kick us off, maybe give us an overview of what's been happening with podcast regulation in South Africa, which then gave rise to you being in a lot of media discussing this in recent times.
Good morning, Gezi, and yeah, thank you so much for the invite and for opening up this discussion for us to have, because I think it has become a very important topic recently. So to kind of get into how this all kicked off, I think we had probably two big incidents in South Africa that we can probably point to, which is one with Mac G that went public, and then obviously the one with the Open Chat podcast recently, with the controversies that happened over there, and it all related to around what they said, how they said it, the individuals that they said it towards, and then it started this whole. How do we regulate podcasts and how do we regulate what they say? Because where's the line of freedom of speech versus discrimination or versus harm to another person or group of people? And that's kind of where this whole thing started. And like you mentioned, there was a big public outcry after the Open Chats podcast incident, and that led to a whole bunch of media interviews and a whole bunch of even going all the way up to government, where our Department of Digital Transform or Digital Communication got involved, and they drafted a white paper and they said, okay, this is how we want to regulate podcasts. But yeah, we've actually had chats with them. We've sat in meetings with them. We've had one-on-ones with their senior officials to kind of chat around where is this going? What do they want to regulate? And that actually brought a lot of insights to us as well on how podcasters and how digital media should be regulated in this country.
Now, with that, I've also had separate conversations about this. And one of the things that came out of those conversations was that a lot of other bodies that have this freedom of speech versus what can and can't be said, discrimination and all of that, ones that have to balance that have a part of sort of these industry bodies that then are self-governing, self-regulating, such as, the bodies in broadcast, in newspapers and traditional media and other print media. What are some of the thoughts where that's concerned, given that you've been having these conversations in how podcasts can be self-regulating? In fact, with that, should podcasts even be different from how broadcast is being regulated and how print is being regulated?
So I found that actually very interesting when we chatted to the officials at the Department of Digital Technology and Media, and their viewpoint is, and they were giving us guidance. They weren't telling us, just to clarify that, they weren't telling us what we should do and how we should do it. They were more asking us for guidance and kind of pointing us in the right direction of, look at what these countries are doing, and they pointed to countries in Europe and countries in England, or England, and that's kind of where they were going at. And what works very well is the self-regulation model. Like you mentioned, the Broadcasting Complaints Commission or the Press Council. So they pointed us in that direction and said we should actually set up the body to be that self-regulating body. But that's the first step of regulation. So the majority of podcasters, everybody in digital media and digital audio should be self-regulated. But then there's a second step. So if it goes further than a more bigger, broader legal issue, because rightly so, we are not the experts in the legal minds. We can enforce policy, we can in guide in freedom of speech stuff, we can guide you on all those things, and we can actually make you sign a, when I say make you, I don't mean force you, but we can get you to sign a it kind of discloses, says, we will abide by these certain rules. And if you break those rules, there's a certain consequence. But as soon as it becomes a legal issue, when it comes to infringing on human rights or infringing on or discriminatory or things like that, then it becomes a big legal issue. And that's where the department wants to set up a separate entity or a second level, let's call it that way, of regulation, which would be an ombudsman kind of regulation. And that would then follow a legal process. So the way they phrased it and the way they said it is that we want self-regulation, we want you guys as an industry to self-regulate, but then there should also be a second layer. And the point of self-regulation is to make it easy for the general public to complain. Because rightly so, you can't just say anything you want. You are going to offend people, right? So people are going to take offense to a whole bunch of things. And they have the right to complain. Everybody has their right to opinion. But whether that complaint is valid or not, we need the self-regulating body to kind of filter through that and say, these are valid, these are not. How do we police these? And if there is a further step that needs to be taken, then it'll be handed over to something like a digital media ombudsman.
You mentioned the examples from other countries, from other parts of the world, from the West, from Europe, from the US, and all of that, bodies that have done that. Have you had a moment to kind of see what best practice is that can be adopted in South Africa and other African countries to for the self-regulation?
I think the European model is the one that we'll probably have a look at more closely because that is aligned with the Broadcasting Complaints Commission model and the Press Ombudsman or the Press Council. So that self-regulating body. When you look at the US side, that's a little bit more different. They have a much broader scope on freedom of speech. And I mean, we all saw it probably with the Charlie Kirk incident or the Charlie Kirk assassination that happened last week, where they do have this freedom to kind of say anything that they want. But then there's this debate of how far do you go? And there's some consequence to that. So I don't think we're going to look at the US model because that is too broad. And that opens us up to a lot of other questions and stuff. And we've seen that play out obviously in the US market. But the European model follows closely to what we have currently in South Africa around the Broadcasting Complaints Commission and Press Council.
Yeah, because the I suppose discussions following Charlie Kirk's assassination have I suppose brought up certain things in certain areas which in actual fact South African podcasters are in hot water for right now. And yet in that market it was kind of accepted or acceptable. And I think having something that is a sort of regulation gives us a guide as to which direction we go. So it would be interesting to see how we adapt that European model for South Africa and also, I guess, across Africa as well to see how we could then collaborate to adapt a similar model. But
Because I
how
don't think, sorry, I think the challenge with the American model at the, and the way that is set up is that the citizens don't have a mechanism to complain. And I've been fortunate enough to be in the US a couple times over the last couple of months. So I've had some chats with people around their freedom of speech and regulation and what they do. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to make it easy for the public to, like I said, to complain. Now, that complaint might not be valid or anything, but at least the public has an outlet to say, I don't agree with something or something offended me. Here's a body that I can go to actually have a consequence and it will get investigated. And I think that's what we want. When we look at the Charlie Kirk thing, it's almost like people get to say whatever they want and there's no repercussion to it. And that's when people become radicalized. And that's what we obviously want to avoid because we do have a we or let me say we can have a very violent culture in South Africa, but we've managed to keep that and people have been very respectful in general. Even when with the Open Chats podcast, there was a massive outcry, but it never ever led to violence, if I can put it that way. So we just want to make sure that we keep that narrative, that we keep it open, and that if somebody does feel very aggrieved, that they have a body that they can come to and say, hey, I didn't like this. What can we do about it?
And in your view, having been on this journey, what are your thoughts on how regulation or the lack of regulation could lead to the growth or demise even of podcasts in Africa?
I think if we start with the lack of regulation, I think that it could lead to a dangerous slippery road. So I'm not saying that everything should be heavily policed and heavily regulated, but what I am saying is that if there is nothing, then people can start to say whatever they want to, and then you have the risk of people becoming radicalized. And I think that's the risk that we have to play up, especially in the South African context, where we've got many examples of people saying things that somebody didn't like, and then there was a massive protest outside, or something happened, and then that's when the violence aspect and the radicalization can take place. So if we have that little bit of regulation, we can have consequence to podcasts. And some things that we are looking at is, if you look at the YouTube model, for example, three strikes and your channel gets taken down. So
Yes.
if you, that's something that we kind of want to try and adopt and say, if you break the rules X amount of times, we can take your platform down, and we'll work with the likes of Spotify and Apple, and that's what we're trying to do. So we're giving you the scope to say, hey, like just tone it down a little bit, or watch what you're saying, or be mindful of the people. And again, it needs to be valid. It will be investigated. It's not something that we will just arbitrarily say, hey, we didn't like this, and therefore strike one for you. Because I think that's also the problem with YouTube, is anybody can lay a complaint and then you have a strike against your channel. So it would be an investigation process. And like I say, if it goes further than that, it would go to the this digital media ombudsman. And then we're also looking at things like advertising revenue, because a lot of podcasters start off, and they want to grow big, and they want to be like Joe Rogan's, and they want to have big advertisers, and they want to make money off their podcast. So what we're saying is, okay, cool, if you break the law X amount of times, or you break these simple guidelines that everybody has to abide by, maybe you won't be advertised. Maybe you won't be able to receive advertising revenue. And that's a two-way street, because remember, advertisers also want to have a good moral partner that abides by their brand reputation. So there's a bit of a give and take there in the way we regulate and how we do this. So we can make legitimate consequences for someone that breaks the regulations. And like I said, so if you take the Broadcasting Compliance Commission as an example, you have to abide by the regulations. And if you don't, your radio station can actually be taken offline. Like, you can lose your ICASA radio license. So that's the kind of model that we want to follow. So we know that less than 1% of podcasters are causing issues. But if you cause issues multiple times, and you are discriminatory, or you are promoting hate speech, things like that, then we will give you a strike. And we will say to you that eventually, that we, maybe your podcast gets taken down, because you're inciting more hatred and violence than actually doing good.
So for me, I think from what you said, Diego, three questions come up for me because these are, I guess, things that would affect this kind of regulation. And the first thing that comes up is similar to other industry bodies, there are people who are inside the body and outside of that industry body. And with rules and regulations in an industry body, of course, more and more people come in, but you also get the people who don't, right? Like people who won't be part of the South African Podcasters Guild, who won't be part of the equivalent in Nigeria, in Kenya, in Malawi, and everywhere else across Africa. How then do you regulate for those kinds of people? Because unlike broadcasting, with podcasting, you don't have to sign a certain code to have your airwaves to be able to broadcast on a certain frequency, right? Like you just need internet and you don't have to be part of a body. I guess that's the first question that comes up for me. And then the second is with people who are with people who aren't part of the body, what we've seen, I think, during COVID is that because there were people who were, anti and pro vaccinations, the both sides of that conversation were heard. There's, you know, there are, there's media that would say being an anti-vaxxer has these ramifications, and there's media that says vaccinations had these ramifications, right? But what it brought up is the fact that both voices were kind of heard. So to your point about we don't like or subscribe to what you say means that voice isn't heard. So those radicalized people aren't really heard. How do we balance that? I think these are the first two parts. And then I suppose the last thing is that I guess there needs to be collaboration on the continent to go, this is the standard, so that if even if there isn't a standard in your country, there's a standard or a code that kind of is all encompassing. I'm not sure what your thoughts are on that, but I think let's start with people who aren't part of the body and who are podcasters and who go rogue, as it were, or say things that are unacceptable or should be unacceptable. How do you govern for those?
So I think that we're working with some legal minds on that because that is a challenge. You're 100% right. That is one of the big challenges. Like, how do you like get people to sign up to this code of conduct, if you want to call it that way? So one of the things that is drafted into this draft white paper for that will go into law, that will become a bill and eventually become a law, is that this independent regulator body who we are trying to become for South Africa will be written into that law. So that's the first step. So there will be part of the law will say that if you want to be part of this organization, if you want to be indigenous, if you want to be abiding by the law, you have to be part of this independent regulator. So that's one mechanism where government is saying we're not going to step in and take control of everything. We are making provision for there to be an independent regulator. So that's the first thing. Again, that doesn't force everybody to join, like you said, but what it
Sure.
does do for people that do join is it makes it easier for them to abide by the regulations because now you've got a body that is your filter for any complaints or things that come in. And again, like you say, not all complaints might be treated equally or treated or treated fairly because to your second point, we do want to open the conversation for both sides of arguments. We want to open for people that are for something or people for against something. Where we need to be careful is, does your argument infringe on the rights, on other rights or other laws? That's where we need to kind of decide. So when you take the anti-vaxxer and the vaccination COVID thing is none of those two arguments infringed on anybody's rights. Everybody had the
Definitely.
right to either choose or to not. But when you start becoming racial or when you start to infringe on the democratic rights of somebody else, that's when we need to start saying that,
I
hold up,
get
we
you.
maybe need to look into this. So it becomes easy if we become that independent regulator and it becomes written into the bill and it becomes law that there will be an independent regulator. We make it easy to be that filter to kind of say, hey, like we will check this out for you. And if it's a waste of time to complain, if it's somebody that just didn't like what you say, we ignore that and we move on with life and we carry on. However, if you're not part of the body, that becomes your fight to have. That becomes your expense. And maybe you have to go to court. Maybe you have to go through a whole process to actually do that. So there will be incentives like that to join the body and to join the independent regulation. And right, like you said, we can't regulate everybody. And I think, and I'm speaking under speculation because we're all obviously still investigating this and nothing has been written into law. But I think what will end up happening is once this is all established, again, to the monetization point, people, advertisers will probably only come to someone who abides by the regulations. Because then they know their brand is safe, their marketing is safe, nothing is going to impact their brand negatively by what these people say. And then it becomes a, do you want to make money with your podcast? If yes, you obviously need to be a podcast that's brandable, that can be advertised on. And that obviously each brand has their own prerequisites for that. I mean, there's a company overseas called Dbrand. They don't care. They love the memes. They love things like that. But then you've got companies like maybe Old Mutual or Apps or something that want to know, no, we are inclusive. We don't discriminate against anybody. We follow these certain guidelines for our brand. And I think that's where the regulation and the independent bodies are going to come into play. It's that these brands are going to start to say, we will only work with podcasters who form part of the regulator board. So we can't force anybody. I don't think we'll ever get to a stage where we can force people to join, but there will be lots of motivations to join or lots of benefits to join the regulator.
So there's a conversation, like I was saying, that I had with somebody else separately, and one of the things that came up or came out of that conversation was that podcasts form part of digital media or digital audio media, and there are industry bodies that kind of represent people within the digital media space. There are bodies that you mentioned, like the Press Council, the Broadcasting Complaints Commission, and all the rest of them, that represent, in some ways, media or audio or whatever the case is, where I suppose people who work within the social media space as influencers are part of that, a part of this kind of space. And now there's podcasting, which kind of touches both spaces. I suppose the big question is, why should podcasts and podcasting be on their own little corner and regulated only as podcasts rather than as digital media or digital audio media, which is already represented out there, because there's already some regulation that exists in those spaces?
So that is something that is true and not true. Like, there's a little bit of a factual misnomer there. Like, with the Broadcasting Complaints Commission, for example, and the Press Council, actually, you have to sign up with them. You have to actually agree and sign their terms and conditions, and you have to sign up with them to actually be regulated by them. So that's the first thing. So the digital media space, no one needs to do that. I can pick up my phone today and start a podcast. And I don't need to sign up and be regulated by anybody. Whereas if you look at traditional media and traditional radio broadcasts, before you can even get a license, you need to sign up with the Broadcasting Companies Commission. You need to do steps A, B, and C before ICASA gives you a license, and then you can actually broadcast. So what this white paper and this bill is trying to do, and again, I'm not the legal expert, but this is the conversations we've had, is that the white paper is trying to group all of digital media together. So like you said, it's not focused on just podcasts alone, it's focused on digital media. And then have this digital media ombudsman and have this independent regulator that looks specifically at digital media. Because at the moment, the Broadcasting Complaints Commission and the Press Council are all traditional media outlets, and they
I
have
get you.
this little add-on that's maybe for podcasts. Because what you see is, for example, radio stations are taking their radio shows and they're putting it online and they're calling it a podcast, as an example. They're like
Yes.
snippets of their shows. So that's kind of falling within that. This radio station has already signed up with the Broadcasting Complaints Commission. Therefore, we have this little podcast section, but it hasn't been fleshed out properly because you've got digital media, like people can go live on TikTok, people can go live on Facebook, on Instagram. People can start like these influencers that you said they're all starting out and they're all popping out there in this digital media space. That's where we're looking at is that digital media as a whole.
Get you. So the argument, I suppose the argument, the counter argument there is the IAB represents digital media, or at least says that is known to kind of represent the digital media space. So that's another body that doesn't isn't necessarily within the traditional broadcast media space that represents digital media. And if you are a traditional media outlet with both, I suppose, digital sort of written media, like a news outlet that has a podcast, you'd be part of the IAB. So I guess then the argument is, it's not just traditional. There are also other digital bodies that are there with their own regulation, and I think the reason I'm asking this is because there might be similar bodies in other parts of Africa that already exist that would kind of have make this argument. So how do we then balance that as a digital form of digital media ourselves to say we need this representation because it's lacking elsewhere?
So I think what government is trying to do is they're trying to, and we're talking specifically South Africa here now, because those are the departments that we've had conversations with, is that they're trying to consolidate all of this because there is no formal regulation for digital media. There is no, like you said, we've got a couple of bodies like, again, the Broadcasting Complaints Commission has the little podcasting section. In like you can go onto their website and you can have a look at that. IAP is also there, like you mentioned, and I think like to be a member of the IAP, there's a significant fee that you have to pay to become a affiliate member of them. And so government's trying to pull all this together into one regulatory body, and they're looking at different. So they've engaged with a couple different people. Obviously, the South African Podcasters Guild is one of those organizations that we engage with, and we are the largest podcasting organization in South Africa. And that's why we're trying to push for like that our name gets put on there as part of the regulation. And I think it is difficult, but I think to answer the question, it's about consolidating all of this for digital media because again, we're trying to make it easy for the public to have an organization to come to say that if something goes wrong, this is where we come to and this is where we complain. And nobody knows that at the moment. You and me know of all of these organizations because we entrenched in the industry. But the general man on the street, if something happens, they don't know where to go to. So what ends up happening, and again, Open Chats Podcast is an example of this, is they go viral on TikTok, but nobody knows a formal complaints procedure.
I get you. So we've spoken about the European example and European regulations, which I guess South Africa might be leaning more towards. Are there any other lessons from other African countries that we could learn from in terms of how they approach podcasting, or at least regulations around podcasting?
Not ones that we've seen yet. This is obviously still in the investigation phase, and we are looking at various different models to see what works best for our industry in South Africa. But we've got brilliant organizations like the APVA that we can actually lean on and look at and say that, hey, we want to explore this opportunity. So the short answer to the question is we don't know yet, but we are actively looking and exploring different options.
There's this argument that's happening right now on podcasting, but also with other industry bodies, where the self-regulation is better than being over-regulated, because over-regulation is really akin to censorship. What are the risks of leaving podcasts or podcasting unregulated? Because there's
I
also
think
that
the
other side.
yeah, I think the risk, like you mentioned, is that government take over fully, and then we edge on the side of it. For me, it's a slippery slope to censorship, like you said, because if there is a direct government influence, then I might start to be scared of what I'm saying. Like, and that should never be the case. I shouldn't be scared to say something, but I should obviously not, again, infringe on anybody else's rights by saying what I'm going to say. And I think then you're treading on dangerous waters there when it comes to full-on government regulation and government getting involved. And then that kind of goes against freedom of speech, because now you're having government regulate my speech. That isn't really freedom. And I think the danger in us not setting up a self-regulatory body is that government is eventually going to say, hey, no one's doing anything. We're going to step in and we're going to do something, because I'm pretty sure that people are going to start complaining more and more now that they've realized that, hey, we can make a noise on social media when somebody says something we don't like. That's going to happen more often than not. And podcasting as an industry is growing in South Africa. And the more we grow, the more people are going to find things that they like and find things that they don't like and then eventually complain.
Other ways that we can collaborate as African podcasters, as Africa and African countries, to come up with a shared framework, because this is hitting South Africa now, but there are examples in other countries where I guess the what we would term censorship is really a thing there, where you can't say certain things about, certain politicians or members of political parties or leaders or people like that. And we've seen that even in traditional media. Are there any ways that we could perhaps collaborate as African podcasters to come up with some shared frameworks once we've kind of figured out at least something around how this regulation can work?
I would love to be honest with you. I would actually love to have a shared framework. I think it's going to be difficult though, because of certain countries that you mentioned, or examples that you mentioned, where there are dictatorships and there are things where you can't say things against politicians. So I think we're going to struggle to enforce a framework like that. But I do think that as South Africa, we can lead the charge in saying that, hey, look at this framework. It works. Podcasters are free to have their freedom of expression. We're working with government and they're not taking over, they're not censoring us. And it's actually a model that works. And I think then we can regulate it or roll it out to the rest of Africa and say we can have an Africa framework. I think a quote that I heard often is, how do you eat an elephant? It's one bite at a time. So I think we need to break this up into smaller chunks. So for me, it would be, let's get this right in South Africa, and then we can be a model for the rest of Africa.
We've covered a lot so far around regulation. We've spoken about how it can be done. We've spoken about conversations that have been happening. We've spoken about some European examples. Something that I'm keen to understand is how podcasters themselves, because a lot of us are sort of one person shows, and you don't have a big team, you don't have big representation, and in some instances, you don't even have representation by way of an association or an organization that you belong to. How can we as podcasters contribute to the conversation so that if it isn't happening in any other African country, you could bring that conversation there as well as that podcaster? How can we collaborate to make that happen? And how can we bring our voices into the conversation more?
I think the first thing is to join an organization. We've got the APVA, who's got representation all across Africa. We've got us as a South African Podcasters Guild in South Africa. So my first comment on that would be join an organization, because the difficulty is, if you were a small podcaster, like you said, there are podcasters who are one-man bands who are running this by themselves, and they've got great shows, and they maybe have great content, and they've got great insight to this maybe, but they don't have that voice at the levels of either government or at the regulators that they need. Organizations like us, we do have that voice now. We've seen that this works, and we've been able to sit down in the rooms with government and say, hey, we want to self-regulate. We don't want government to take over. This is the steps we want to put in place. So if you join an organization as a small podcaster, you can have your voice, and we can represent you and your voice. And that's kind of what we aim for. That's what we want to do. As the South African Podcasters Guild, our main aim is to grow the podcasting industry in South Africa. And that means, or part of that means, to give a voice to the smaller podcasters out there, especially when it comes to regulation conversations like this. So to answer that question is join an organization that can represent you.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, because we are seeing the conversations, and I guess because we are in these groupings, we see the conversations happening. We see them as they sort of play out. And sadly, podcasts have only really been recognized a lot in South Africa because of the bad rather than the good that they contribute to society, because there are many podcasts that are having really great conversations that aren't really being sort of talked about. One of the things you mentioned that I know a lot of podcasters are really interested in is this idea of monetization and advertising. You mentioned that in passing. I know this conversation isn't really about that, but I think once regulation is in place, it will touch on that, because it's one of the sort of burning issues. How do you see reg the sort of one regulating for speech purposes and what can be said, and regulating for monetization, because that's another place to go. How much do I charge for a 30-second mention of a brand on my podcast? Is that something that can or will be regulated as well, or at least some frameworks created around? Because it's a struggle. Like it's a huge struggle. No one knows what to charge for anything. There are some suggestions online, some things that exist, but would regulation reach that far?
I don't think regulation would reach that far, but regulation, as part of joining a body, will make a little bit easier. That's what I would say, because every contract is going to be negotiated based on what the advertiser's budget is, and then obviously what you put in and what how much your audience size is. So a lot of things are still dictated by audience size. And our director of industry relations, Paolo, he's the bigger expert at this than me. So I just sit in and I listen to conversations, and I learn from him. But the challenge with advertisers is they look at traditional media platforms, and they look at traditional ad. They say, you've got 1 million listeners, I'll pay you X amount per listen that you get, or click-through rate, or things like that. And I think with us being more regulated and being more formal, we will never regulate the advertising space of it, but we will certainly be able to guide you and help you. And we could even set up a demo frame of saying that if your podcast is X size, if you get this many listeners, this is a general guideline of how you should look at advertising.
So I asked you earlier about, I guess, the conversations that you've had with policymakers and what they kind of suggested or proposed. I guess maybe now the sort of opposite sort of question would be that now that you've sat across from regulators, now that you've had these conversations, what is the one thing or one of those things that they either don't understand about podcasting in the way that they approach this space in a traditional space in a traditional sort of media outlook or perspective, that they should perhaps either change or rethink when you have these conversations?
I think the scale of it, and when I say the scale of it, I mean anybody can pick up their phone and start a TikTok live or a Instagram live, and I think that scale is going to be a challenge, because we're looking at traditional podcasters at the moment and people that are registered with us, and obviously, so I think scalability is going to become a big challenge, because in the traditional space, you've got maybe 100, 200 radio stations, if we just take radio stations as an example. In the podcasting space, you could end up having millions. You could end up having hundreds of thousands of podcasts, and I think scalability is going to be the challenge. And with scalability comes funding. So a traditional organization like us, we'll never be able to self-fund based on scale, because if we have 100,000 complaints come in, who's going to fund that? Like, we need people to actually filter through that and sit through that. So there is going to be a cost involved to self-regulation, and I think government probably does need to put a little bit of funding aside to help with this. And that's purely because of the scale, because we're going to need to hire people, we're going to need to have a full on probably legal side that we're going to need to rely on as well. So scalability is going to be a big thing.
And now that you've had some of these conversations, what excites you about what lies ahead once these hurdles around regulation and the conversations have been had? What is, to your mind, the exciting thing about the future of podcasting in Africa once all of these hurdles and these things have been crossed?
I think the exciting thing is it's a growing industry. It is something that is going to take media and traditional spaces to the next level, and it's definitely going to put us onto an international stage, an international platform, and it can highlight all the good things that we are definitely doing across the board. So I think once we cross these hurdles, I think that's the one good thing. The other thing that excites me is it was very clear to me that the policymakers and government don't want to step in and regulate and dictate what's happening. And I think a lot of the conversation and what people were afraid of was that government's going to take over. They're just going to censor our speech. Standing in front of these policymakers and actually having coffee with them, it was very clear that they don't want to do that. So I think that's a very big positive for us. I can't tell you how many times they emphasized, we are not telling you what to do. Please, like, don't, like, we as government are not telling you what to do. Like, that phrase came out so much. And that was encouraging to me. And that was actually exciting to me to sit across a government official and say, they are not dictating what we can do. We can regulate this. And they said to us, we are waiting for you to come up with a solution and draft it and send it to us so that we can write this into policy. So this will be an industry generated thing. And yeah, that's what I'm excited about.
Diego, that was going to be the last question, but you brought up something that is that I think for me brings up an interesting question. So we spoke about in cases when you kind of want to be represented, it's better to join a body. APVA could be a body, the South African Broadcasters Guild could be a body. There are many other bodies. That said, we know that in some parts of Africa, while you might be a podcaster talking about issues or trying to address issues, it's likely that even the laws might be deemed as, in a way, sort of imposing censorship on what can be said, imposing censorship on what a podcaster can put out there, which can be difficult because even if you join a body, there are certain things that you can't openly say to that body, or if you are known to have said those things openly to a body that you belong to, that is from outside of your country, when it reaches your country, you are in hot water because then you've kind of offended systems that are actually oppressive. I mean, this is probably not a related question, but I just want to get a sense of what your thoughts are for somebody out there who is really, call them a voice for the voiceless, and they themselves cannot be seen to be that particular voice. How can that person find a way? Because that's more than regulation, right? Like that's like proper restriction on speech. What can we do as podcasters in parts of the world or parts of the continent where we are able to speak up?
That's a really difficult question because, again, like you said, like the difficulty is that neither you or I think have been in that situation, so we don't kind of know what the nuances are to that. But what I would say to someone who's in that situation is keep doing what you're doing. If you are the reasonable voice, and you are pushing for change, keep doing what you're doing. start a movement, start something, and if you are in a democratic environment, vote for change. That is the one way that you are going to change something, is that you've actually got to stand up. And I mean, we can look at systems like apartheid or like World War II and things like that that happened, where something horrible happened and people were censored and people stood up. But I would encourage you to stand up in the right way. Make it public. Like, if you, for example, if you are a podcaster, we've got so much access at the moment to the international stage. Make it known on the international stage. Make it like become public with it. I think the challenge with things like World War II and apartheid between the 50s and 90, early 90s, is that we didn't have so much access to digital technology. A lot of what happened was through the traditional media, through newspapers, through people fleeing the country, going out there and making it known. We've got a platform and we've got the internet now, where you can spread the message very quickly. So if you have a message to spread, and you want to see some change in your country or your environment, spread the message. And vote for change if you're in a democratic environment.
Diego, I think we'll finish it off there. Spread the message. I think that's a good place to close off. Where can people find you?
They can find us on South African Podcasters Guild website, sapg.co.za. Have a look at us there. We're on Instagram. We're on all the socials. We've got a platform on Facebook as well. And then we've also got the SA Pod Charts, which we manage. So thank you so much again for the time.
Thank you. And thanks to APVA for this platform to discuss this all important issue. And I hope this becomes a series so that we unpack what's happening. There's so much that we don't know about what's happening in our own continent because it isn't being talked about. And I know that podcasters and people out there are making a difference. They are voting for change with their voices, with their content, and with what they're producing. Thank you very much.